modern technology and myself don't get along. Well, it's a joy and an honor to be with you today and to be this congregation. When Nathan asked me to preach today or in this congregation, I was definitely honored to do that. I said to him in an email back how I promise I won't mention anything about infant baptism. I was told that somebody was campaigning to maybe have me, and I won't mention any names, Trent and Sophie. It is a pleasure and an honor to be with you today and to be with this congregation. On the serious side, I do always look at myself in terms of coming into another denomination, of looking at that as a guest, a special guest. And so it is important that we maintain the basic integrity of your denomination as we preach the word. The text today and the word that will be spoken will be in many ways to all of you. It's going to be basically Coles to Newcastle. Okay. So it's going to be a quite simplistic, reformed aspect of exegesis of a passage, but nevertheless, I'm hoping that maybe in some ways the insight of the text will be helpful to you in a way in which we're going to approach this theme today will be something that will be something fresh to you. As you can see from the title of the message, Creation, Recreation, so you can sort of probably already figure out that we're going to take quite a span here in terms of this and maybe some insights that might be fresh and even new to you. I'm going to be reading from Genesis, familiar passage to all of you, Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 5. Genesis chapter 1, 1 through 5. Give careful attention to the holy word of God. Remember what the scripture says, God says. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was over the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light," and there was light. And God saw the light, and that it was good, and He divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness He called night. So the evening and the morning of the first day. Let's pray. Our Lord and our God, we are so thankful that the Word of God is before us. We ask your blessing that we would even see the spectrum of thy word and its implication and application from the very beginning of the creation to the very hearts of thy people here this morning. We ask your guidance and we ask your application through the power of the Holy Spirit. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. O people of God, can it not be said that every time the church and the believer reflects upon the creation, that we are humbly captivated by the almighty power and sovereign creative hand of God? The believer with the psalmist confesses, "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they display knowledge. There is no speech or language where their voice is not heard. Their voice goes out into all the earth, their words to the end of the world. Every believer is captivated by the vastness, the depth, how every mechanism is fine-tuned by the hand of an all-powerful and sovereign Creator. Yes, we also join the confession of the psalmist when he writes, and we have just sung from it, "When I consider the heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars, which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him, the Son of Man, that you care for him?" Indeed, none of us can comprehend the greatness of the creative power of our God. And yet God tells us, yet God informs us of the story of creation as He has recorded it for us through the pen of Moses in Genesis chapter 1. That story has become so familiar to us that perhaps even your mind this morning wandered. Or perhaps you did not consciously focus upon the reading of Scripture this morning yourselves. Maybe these thoughts were in your mind. We know God created the heavens and the earth. We know that the earth was without form and void. We know that God separated the light from the darkness, and He called the light day, and He called the darkness night. We know the story. We know that that is what God did on the first day of creation. We know that story. But what I want to ask you this morning is this. Do you know the story? Do you know the story? Do you know the story of creation from the beginning of Genesis into the New Testament? And this morning, we're only going to take a small peek into that in terms of our time together. Well, unless you have till about 6 o'clock. So, let me take a small peek into it. For example, do you realize that what happens on the first day of creation is repeated in history? Repeated in history. That what happened on the first day of creation is repeated when God recreates mankind. We know, in terms as the narrative unfolds concerning the creation story, that Adam and Eve are created in the image of God, and there comes a time in which Adam and Eve falls prey to the serpent's own device, and they fall into sin. And in that state of sin, we know it clearly in terms of our own tradition, that now Adam and Eve, in terms of fallen creatures, they themselves are totally unable to save themselves. They are depraved from head to toe in terms of all of their faculties to come to know anything about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, in that fallen state, that natural state, we understand from that classic passage, no better description do we have than from Paul's treatise there in Romans chapter 3, that there is no one who is righteous. No, not one. There is no one who understands. No, not one. There is no one who doeth good. No, not one. In fact, by virtue of our own nature, there is no one who even seeks, Paul writes, even seeks the God who has created the universe and all things good. No, not one. But God, rich in grace, rich in mercy, rich in terms of forgiveness, He Himself devises there in terms of even right there in confrontation with the serpent, He devises what we understand as the covenant of grace in Genesis 3:15, and He makes a promise essentially to recreate humanity who has fallen. And as we advance in the Scriptures, I want to pick up on creation language that is so powerful in terms of that recreation, in terms of us in the new creation that is about to come in relationship to that covenant of grace. The prophet Isaiah picks up on that recreation in the following way. Listen to the language of Isaiah the prophet and see if you do not see the creation language that is so beautiful in terms of that prophetic message. The people walking in darkness have seen a great light on those living in the land of the shadow of death. A light has dawned. You're not missing it, are you? You're hearing it. Isaiah goes on. That's Isaiah 9:2. Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3 goes on. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord rises upon you. See, darkness covers the earth, and thick darkness is over the peoples. But the Lord rises upon you, and His glory appears over you. Nations will come to your light, and the kings to the brightness of your dawn. Are you hearing it? Are you hearing the creation language? All depicting the prophetic message of the prophet himself. And just as the creation story, just as in the creation story, we read the darkness, that darkness was over the surface of the deep, and God said, let there be light. So in the recreation, people will be walking in darkness. Isaiah says they will be walking in thick darkness. And God says, let there be light. And what happens? What happens? Jesus appears. Jesus appears. Who is the light of the world. And He says, whoever follows Me will never walk in darkness. Hear the creation language. And will have, and I absolutely love this phrase. Here it comes. Will have the light of life. Light of life. The light of Christ means life. And thus, Jesus, as the light overcomes, He overcomes the darkness of the original creation, so that it is that Jesus, the light, overcomes the darkness in the new creation. Just as the light overcame the darkness in the original creation, Jesus, the light, overcomes the darkness in the new creation. We're not done yet. Just as the Spirit of God is the initiator in the original creation, as we are told that He moved on the face of the waters. Did you notice that? Or did you miss it? Did you carefully listen to Genesis 1-2? Have you ever really realized how strongly the Spirit of God participated in the original creation? He's the initiator. He's active. Immediately. In participation in bringing forth the original creation. And so it is. That the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, initiates the new creation. For it is the Spirit of God that comes upon Mary and she is with child. And she gives birth to the light, Jesus Christ. And as Jesus Christ grows and becomes ready for ministry, so He is baptized and the Spirit of God descends upon Him. And at that moment, the Heavenly Father speaks and says, "This is My Son in whom I am well pleased." So just as God separated the goodness of light from the darkness in the original creation, so it is that Jesus Christ, the good light, separates the light from the darkness in the new creation. So you see there, as the Christ comes forth there after His baptism and the Heavenly Father pronounces Him as one in whom He is well pleased, just as God said in the original creation, in terms of the creation of light, all things are good. So it is. So it is with Christ. He is good. And as He comes upon that new creation, as we have just stated, and He separates the light from the darkness, so it is that that is declared very clearly in John chapter 3. Is it not that the light has come into the world, but men love the darkness more than light, because their deeds were evil? Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come to the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that which he has done has been done through God. So congregation, as you can see, the new creation in which the new light has dawned, Jesus Christ, is best understood by the pattern or in the pattern of the original creation. And likewise, the original creation becomes fully understood in the finality of the new creation as the new creation fits like a canopy, I would like to say, over the original creation. Don't miss it. The new creation trumps the original creation. It's better now. It's better because we are in the Son of God, Jesus Christ, the light. But the story is not over yet. Because the Apostle Paul says that you, each of you, if you are in Christ Jesus, you are a new creation if you are in Christ Jesus. 2 Corinthians 5:17. You know that passage. And you probably have been told somewhere along the line that the true original Greek does not give the force of creature. If the word there is creation. You're part of this new creation activity that's going on. Now, I ask you, in terms of that new creation activity, does it occur any differently than it has when God created all things? Or as the new creation dawned when the Word of God became flesh in Jesus? Let us all answer in terms of the continuity of the story of creation. No. Because Jesus tells us that to be born again into the new creation is to be born of the Spirit of God. In John chapter 3, verses 5 and 8. So you can see there, that just as the original creation, the Spirit of God is active in bringing the original creation into existence, and that the new creation is inaugurated by the Spirit of God coming upon Mary and bringing Jesus into the world. So it is that the Spirit of God comes upon you and redeems you, makes you a child of the light. And the Apostle Paul further maintains in an incredible text. You don't want to miss it. 2 Corinthians 4:6. Tremendous text. That just as God said, Paul writes, let light shine out of darkness. I think I've heard that verse somewhere before. He's quoting Genesis 1:3 in 2 Corinthians 4:6. Now watch what he does with it. Watch what he does with it. Just as God said, let light shine out of darkness, Paul writes, God has made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. Your hearts, your faith is shining this morning. It's shining this morning with the glory of Jesus, the light. How magnificent is that? So you can see that in the same way that God created the world, God recreates the heart of the creature, the believer, who is conformed to the image of the Prince of the new creation. That's you, Jesus, the living Christ. Now, congregation, there are many, many implications and applications that we can draw from this theme. But let's go back to simplicity in terms of our historic Reformed faith here. We're only going to draw one this morning in terms of reminder. It is probably fruitless to sit around and discuss theoretically whether salvation is initiated by man or whether salvation is initiated by God. You're already ahead of me. You're already thinking. Those who maintain that salvation is initiated by man, it's the classic Arminian position. Those who maintain that salvation is initiated by God is the historic Reformed position. And as I said, perhaps like me, you have been in these discussions in terms of argumentation during your life. You pull out your proof text, they pull out their proof text, and you fight and go at it all day. But perhaps there's a different dimension in which we can go in terms of our discussion here. Perhaps there's a different type of theme we can follow in that discussion. That is, if we couch the narrative here in the creation narrative, in redemptive history, perhaps there's little to say. And as I've presented this argument, started presenting this argument in my doctrine classes all the way back in terms of my time in Grand Rapids teaching to my time at Covenant teaching for since 1985, since I've employed this discussion, I have never found an Arminian who can counter it. The creation narrative is the same throughout Scripture. Let us go back to the creation. Would any of us who are here today want to make the claim that you initiated the original creation. That you made the stars, the sun and the moon? No. That would be absurd. Does any of us here today want to make the claim that you initiated the new creation? You told God, okay, bring the Spirit and make sure that Mary gives birth to this child. Have any of you would make that claim that you initiated the new creation that came in Christ? Absolutely not. That would be absurd. Then why, when it comes to us, why, when it comes to me, I want to claim that I am the one who initiates the new creation in me. The audacity of that claim. The absurdity of that claim. The creation theme is the same from Genesis all the way through Revelation. God alone is the sovereign creator of all things, and God is the sovereign initiator of all things, including the process of redemption that comes into the world. Including ourselves. Including ourselves. So just as God created all things in the original creation, so it is that God creates the new creation in Jesus Christ. And as John writes so clearly and so succinctly, one simple verse, in terms of capturing the creation theme, and do not miss that John's gospel in its constant theme of light and darkness is always going back to creation. That he, in his prologue, that close classic prologue, will absolutely give you a clear, succinct aspect of how you yourself, each one of you who have confessed the Lord Jesus Christ, how you have become a child of Jesus Christ. It's John 1:13. It's as clear as day. And remember the prologue. The prologue is summating the entire gospel. Where will you get the exegesis in reality of, in Jesus' life, of John 1:13? It will be the entire third chapter of John. In Christ's discussion with Nicodemus. That you must be born from above. Of the Spirit. So how? You may be asking. Maybe you're still asking in your own heart, in your own mind. How have I become a child of God? How have I become a child of the King? How is it that I love Jesus Christ so much in my heart? Look at that succinct text in John 1:13. You have become a child of God, not by natural descent, You can't get it by mommy and daddy. You can't get it by natural descent. Now, isn't it interesting? Even this phrase is there in John 1:10. Nor do you get it by human decision. Arminian, are you reading? Nor can you get it by husband's will. It can't come to me by will. I can't put it in a will that my children will be in heaven. Well, if it's none of these ways, common to the cultural thinking, even in the days of Christ, how do I get it? Simple, simple phrase, isn't it? In John 1:13. I'm born of God. That's it. It's that simple. God has brought you by the Spirit of God into a new birth as a new creation, which you need in order to be in His presence. What a gospel we have. Let's pray. O Heavenly Father, the hosts of heaven continue to praise and celebrate the victory of Christ Jesus over sin and death. We rejoice this morning that we ourselves are ones who also celebrate for the reflection of the light and the glory of Jesus Christ is in our very hearts and shines upon our very faces. May the glory of Christ shine all around us in our daily walk and bless us through that renewing power that has made us into new creatures in Christ, the power of the Holy Spirit. Bless us, O God, in Thy name and in the name of Jesus, the everlasting light of the world. We pray. Amen.